Hello, everyone, and welcome to Show Hoppers. Today we are covering The Regime, Season 1, Episode 1, Victory Day. Probably season only. It seems like this is a miniseries. But anyway, I am Mr. Sal, a high school science teacher, watching The Regime for the first time because it's brand spanking new. And it stars Kate Winslet, who's one of my absolute favorites. And I'm watching this series and covering it with my co-host and former student, Kurt. Kurt, I'd say we were just about meant for each other, wouldn't you?
Oh, happy, Mr. Sal. Happy.
I don't know what that means.
But you don't know? Okay. She says that at some point to her father.
Oh, yes, that's right. she does. Okay. Yeah, good thing I'm the one giving the quotes and not you for this episode.
Gotta get ahead of that.
If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me.
Oh, you know what? That took me a lot longer than I thought.
You know, baby, please don't go.
When she was singing, sorry. I didn't think it was that bad. And then they made it worse.
Yeah, it started out okay. Yeah, it got much worse.
When she was singing, I was like, I feel like the comical part is to make this bad, but it's not bad. Like, it's actually, I guess it's all right.
Okay, let's see how we felt about this episode, shall we?
Ratings.
I have no idea how I think of this episode. I've not a clue. I'm gonna try to aim for the middle of where you might fall. So I don't think you knew anything about the series going into it, other than that there is a regime.
I did watch the trailer.
Oh, you did watch the trailer?
I did.
Trailer.
I was teasing you about that. I did actually watch the trailer.
So if I'm being honest, I don't know that trailer was a really good representation of what we saw in this episode.
No, no.
This was a lot, I don't know, like sillier or goofier than I was expecting it to be. I guess maybe we're in for a dramedy, maybe? I'm really not sure. There was probably less political intrigue than I expected there to be, and more silliness. I was pretty shocked to find that... Well, we'll talk about that later. Never mind. So I don't know if that jarred you in a bad way or a good way, but... Let's see. You normally aren't crazy about pilots. There are only 6 episodes in the series, though, so this is only like 17% of the series. That's a big chunk. This one episode is like 17% of the series. So I don't know if that helps you where the pilot is concerned or not. We did really focus on 2 characters, but there is a lot going on. I think you liked the goofiness. I think you felt like it was maybe a little too much going on, and you felt like you were a little bit behind and trying to play catch up the whole time. I know that we do focus primarily on just the 2 main characters in Elena and Herbert, but there's Zubak. I guess they kept calling him Zubak in the little vignettes afterwards. Did you watch those?
The vignettes?
Yeah, they were after the next on. Did you watch the next on?
No, I didn't watch the next on.
Oh, jeepers. There was the next on, and there was
vignettes as well.
Yeah, and there's like a behind the scenes type stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
And they kept referring to him as Zubak instead of Herbert. So I guess I'll
butcher.
Or the butcher. So I guess I'll start calling him Zubak. The focus is heavily on those 2. So that's something you like, but I do think that there was a lot going on that you kind of felt behind on. So I don't know. I don't think you gave it. I don't think you gave it a 10. I don't think you gave it a 6. So taking the average of what remains, I'll say you gave it an 8.
It really comes down to how funny you thought this was. I think this is up your alley of humor. I think you were belly laughing the whole time. And you thought this was the bee's knees, hilarious. There's not too much political intrigue. There's a little bit, but it's mostly comedical, like this first episode. There's some interesting bits, like, you know, how do you, I shouldn't say it that way, but like, you know, how do you think she is as a person? Like, trying to pin down, what's her name, Elena, right?
Yeah. Elena, yeah.
You know, is she like a hypochondriac?
Or Lenny, if you're...
Did you call her Lenny?
if you're her husband.
Yeah, she like a narcissist. Looks like she's grieving. Like, you know, there's some bits here that I think you really latched onto and you really enjoyed, along with the comedy, I think. Now, if you didn't like the comedy, you gave this like a 6 or a 7. I'm gonna say you liked the comedy. You gave it a 9.
Okay. I gave it an 8. I thought the comedy was okay. I was not expecting it, and so really, it didn't. I was kind of in a situation where I was like, am I supposed to be laughing at this? Like, is this supposed to be funny?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the other thing that really surprised me, like a lot surprised me, was I don't think Elena's the main character of this series. It seems like Zubak is the main character. He was our central character. He was our point of view character. He was in every scene.
He's our point of view character, but you know, it's kind of in the same way like Sherlock and Watson, right? Like Watson, we see everything from his point of view, but Sherlock's the star of the show. You know, the book's named after him. The Zubak is not. I agree that we follow Zubak, but I would consider Elena the star of the show.
I mean, she's the only one on the poster.
Yeah. Like, you know, the whole story revolves around her more than Zubak. But I mean, I would argue that for episode one, but it's definitely subject to change. And Zubak could certainly, like in the trailer, he's shown quite a bit. He definitely can be the main character, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's just our, like, a representation of us in the world. But so what I gave it is at first I gave it an 8.
Yeah.
I thought on it. Giving it a 9, right?
Okay.
I decided I upped it. It's kind of dry humor. I think there's comedy to it. I mean, there is comedy to it. I'm saying I think there's comedy.
There definitely is. Yeah.
Again, I like the dry humor of it, like the idea that this is the regime leader. It kind of made me think of like a more comedic Chernobyl. Like, there's a lot of gaslighting-esque stuff going on. I don't know why I always relate Chernobyl with, like, corporate gaslighting or at least professional gaslighting. But it happens a lot there. We've covered it, listeners, so check that out in your back catalog. It's a miniseries as well. Only 5 episodes, so one fewer than this one.
And not funny.
And not funny. It is a not very funny series. This is, like, a much lighter, funnier, drier, dark humor, like, Chernobyl. But what I outlined for her that could be points of interest, right? Like how she's a hypochondriac or germaphobe, or maybe this is like, you know, her lung issues real, but and how people influence on it. I think there could be a horrific element, which I guess I'm getting into horror now. Everything we've been covering recently, I'm always loving the horror element of it.
You're finding the horror.
I am. And like, if she was your leader, and just the way she changes around, it's kind of horrific. Like, there's a fear in that. I don't think they leaned into it that much, but they could. So, and that's what I was going to give it a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they could go a few ways. I'm worried that this will kind of stick being a light comedy. Like, if it sticks with this depth that did in episode one, I don't know if I'll be that big of a fan of the series. If, you know, this is episode one, good introduction, that's why I gave it a 9. If they get more in depth into some of the, you know, drama stuff, it looks like they're hinting at something with her husband and maybe having a falling out with Zubak or something, or some sort of jealousy, the way a few times in this episode he looked at him. You know, that could be interesting. A few other things. Now she's antagonizing America. She just ousted some of her political rivals. It looks like she trusts Zubak a lot, so maybe now he'll be doing some political maneuvering. It could turn into like a House of Cards-esque or...
Well, and that's what I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be like Zubak's rise, like the rise of Zubak.
You don't?
I'm worried. I don't want it to be the rise of Zubak. And I'm worried that that's what it's going to be. I feel like that's... And that's the vibe that I got from the end of this episode was, is she his puppet now?
Definitely could be the rise of Zubak. I'm not completely opposed to it, depending on how they pull it off. It could be an interesting road. I won't get into like House of Cards as much. I know we've both watched part of it, but like the rising action of House of Cards is the best part of it.
For sure. 100%. But you know that's what it's going to be from the start. That's the point of the series. Like this is Frank Underwood. watch him rise.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And that's it. Like, but that's, I don't feel like the point, it's not what I expected to be the point of this series. And I don't know that I would have watched the series if I thought that that was going to be the point. So,
And to give some more credit to your point, we don't really know Zubak like that well. So it's kind of hard to root for him exactly. Like, there's a few reasons we can root for him. Like, he just kind of got lunged into this. People are judging him. But we don't really know him.
Right. I mean, the thing that might save it from that fate is I do think he genuinely cares for her. I think he genuinely, when he says, you know, that he loves her, I believe that. I think that he wants her to rule. I don't think he wants to rule, but I think he really wants to be right next to it. But
give us the advice. Like,
I don't think he wants. Yeah, I don't think he wants to supplant her, but I think he wants to be there with her.
He wants to be in her ear.
I don't even know if it's he wants to be in her ear. I think that he just, I think he's, and I don't know if this is in a sexual way, but I think he's attracted to her. And maybe not sexually, but attracted to her, just like a magnet, just like magnetically drawn to this powerful person that he admires. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. And I could see that being kind of interesting. I would be more interested in that than I would be in him trying to supplant her. I hope that's not the route they take.
I'm not opposed to that either. The reason I ended up giving this a 9 was, I don't know where this series is going to go from here. Again, if it sticks with this light comedy stuff, I will not like it as much. But they could definitely go more into the drama aspect. And this is a good introduction to all that and getting to know Elena. So, yeah. 9. I give it a 9. I enjoyed watching it throughout.
Okay. I wasn't drudgery. Like, I enjoyed it. It's just, I don't know. I was jarred by it. It just, I guess this must be what people who fell off the old man bandwagon.
Yeah.
Felt like.
Yeah.
Like, this is just, it's in this episode, I didn't feel like this was the series I signed up to watch.
I agree. I do agree with that. I did not think it would be this comedic. I totally agree. And for reference listeners, old man, we have season 1 of that. It is, you look at the trailer, the way it's hyped up, it seems like it's going to be a very action-y packed show.
And the first episode is.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then the next 5 like aren't. And it's not bad.
What are there, 7, 8 episodes?
7, 8, something like that. Yeah.
So, so most of the series is not that way.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. But,
yeah. So anyway, I guess that's my biggest gripe about this. I might retcon this later if I grow to love the series for what it is rather than what I thought it was going to be. But this is not what I thought it was going to be. It's not what I thought we were going to be covering, and I don't know if I would have covered it if I knew it was this. So
yeah, I might retcon it as well, depending on how the future goes and if this turned out to be like a foreboding sign of things to come. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's talk about the things we liked the most. So let's figure out our favorite scenes.
Favorite scenes.
Okay, to me, I think this comes down to 2 scenes for you. I think it's either the gala banquet, dinner party, whatever you want to call that thing for Victory Day, or it's the penultimate scene where she meets with Susan and Dr. Kershaw, and after she dismisses them, Zubak gets in her ear. So I got to figure out which one I want to say for you. I think I'm going to go with that penultimate scene.
I was going to go with the penultimate scene for you, but now I'm kind of scared to, because you kind of illustrated you don't want the series to be Zubak trying to supplant her. But I guess he doesn't do that here. He's just kind of doing what you'd like, which is revolving around her or magnetized to her and wanting to aid her. So I'll say that for you as well, the penultimate scene.
That was my favorite scene. Yes.
It was almost my favorite scene. It was second on my list. It was the gala. More specifically, if you didn't let me choose the whole gala, it would have been a when Elena goes to punish Zubat for his his misdeeds at dinner, doing as he was instructed to. How dare you make me look like a lunatic.
Look ridiculous. I am not ridiculous, but that you are actually ridiculous. Oh man.
I'm okay. Hustling.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I almost picked that scene. That was probably my second favorite scene. So I guess we can talk about that if you want. Why don't you talk about that one?
Not even going to the whole gala part, because I would have picked this probably in isolation, even though it's short.
Yeah.
Just the shock value of it. Like I wasn't expecting it. She pulls him aside. I thought it was I didn't know what I was expecting, but definitely not her to punish him, slapping him around. And it just shows a lot of deep rooted issues with her, right? Which it makes her scarier. Now they kind of lean off of this for the remainder of the episode, at least towards Zubac.
Yeah.
They kind of grow closer. I mean, after he saves her from an intruder.
Right, right.
But it's, you know, it's scary. She hits him. Even prior to taking him aside, you know, the fish is not fish that comes out. It's meat for the CEO, but they don't eat meat. So it's, she goes, all the staff made a mistake. It's just a level of just gaslighting, fear, and like, what do you do with this person, right? Doing as you're told. You know, your successor, the person, or your predecessor, looks like had an ill-timed fate. Like, they didn't do well, and now they're gone.
Later they said you'd have been lion food for the lions at the zoo.
Mm-hmm. So you already know this is a stressful job, and you're doing exactly as you're told, and she's telling you to put a gun in your mouth and shoot yourself. It is scary. He still goes out after it. So that's why I liked it. The horrific part, right? This is the scary part of her being the ruler or the chancellor.
Absolutely. I will say, though, and maybe this makes me sound awful, like, I feel like I have been in that situation. Speaking in my position as a parent.
Oh, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But where I've told my kids, like, look, we're not going to do this because we have to do blah, blah, blah. And then we get in the situation and they say, no, we're not going to do that because. And I'm like, no, it's okay. We'll do it. We're going to do it. So it's like, I feel like I've been in that situation before where, I'm very uncomfortable. I don't want to be doing this, but this is what this is what is dictated to me. I have to do this right now. And it's hard to explain that nuance to someone because you only are making that decision in the moment. So I guess I kind of sympathize with her here that, you know, I'm not shaking anybody's hands, but right now
I'm hustling.
I have to kind of try to impress these people a little bit. So I'm going to have to shake their hand. And maybe I shouldn't have told you, don't let anybody shake my hand. But I actually don't want you to let me shake my hand. But right now I do want to shake this person's hand. I have to. So I guess I sympathize with that. I get it. But you're right. Her reaction is terrifying.
Exactly. Yeah, her reaction is so scary. No, I agree with that. Yeah. But the reaction. Whew.
Yeah, I know. And this is the scene where they do the singing. Nikki plays the piano while Elena sings If You Leave Me Now by Chicago. What was really cool in that scene, in the singing part, is watching her like cabinet, like the people that are closest to her and their reactions to the song. And then they also show you Zubac's reaction to the song. And it's the complete opposite.
He looks like he's in love. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All her cabinet is like horror mortified. And there's just shrinking in embarrassment that this is their leader. Meanwhile, Zubac is just enamored.
Leader. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Look at this. This is my leader. Look at her. She's so wonderful. But anyway, and then later on, I don't know if you want to continue.
When she goes back to dinner for the negotiating with the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he wants the cobalt deal. He wants to start off at 30% and then eventually get majority share at 51%. And she does not like the idea of losing cobalt rights. Looks very weak.
Yeah. And she's very concerned with looking weak. So do you think, because we find out in this scene that the CEO and his wife don't eat meat, they only eat fish. Do you think she knew that and that's why she sent back the salmon?
No, I don't think so.
I think maybe.
Maybe she does, but I don't think so. Just based on like my characterization of her.
Mm-hmm. So I guess
I might not be giving her enough credit. She's got to be cunning to some degree because she became chancellor. But yeah. I don't think of her as very cunning. But she right. shows glimpses.
So yeah. So I mean, there are one of two ways that you can take that. One is she had no idea, and now she feels like an idiot, and she feels ridiculous, and she already felt ridiculous because Zubak rebuffed the handshake and gave the humidity reading, and now she feels even more ridiculous that her staff screwed up, or that she screwed up the menu. But the other way to think of it is she saw the fish, she knew that that would be satisfactory for the CEO, and she didn't want any, she wanted to make him feel uncomfortable about some things or everything as much as she could, so that she could broker this deal. But I don't know. I think you're, yeah, I guess you're probably right. She probably did.
I don't know if I'm probably right. I think you could definitely go, I don't think there's enough information to like really hammer down one.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, my favorite scene was when she is in the, I don't even know what room this is, but it's all covered.
The Dexter room. I call it the Dexter room. The
Dexter room. Oh my God. I love it. The kill floor. It's the like, room. Yeah.
Like so, Dexter New Blood. We have that in the back catalog. Check it out.
We do. It's good stuff. She meets with Susan and Kershaw. They want her to relocate to the country because it's not safe here. We just can't get this damn fungus problem under control. And you have these sensitive lungs. It was your father's condition. It's how he died. Now, by the way, her father looks like he died at a ripe old age.
I mean, it's hard to tell when you've been dead for like a year preserved.
I know. But I don't know. That seems like, yeah. I mean, just Kate Winslet is, you know, pushing 50. So I don't know if the chancellor is or not. Yeah, she is. She's a little older than me and I'm 45. So I don't know if the chancellor is supposed to be the same age as Kate Winslet, but my guess is that this guy was at least in his 70s, if not older. It looked older than that to me.
He did look pretty old.
So yeah. So I don't think that this, you know, lung condition necessarily is much for her to worry about. Neither does Zubak apparently, but they are just fully putting it to her that, oh no, it's bad, you don't want to be here, this is we can't get this place safe, that guy came in, contaminated the whole damn place. But she dismisses them and she asks Herbert, who obviously loves her and says as much here, what does he want to see happen next? So I don't know if she's like grasping for advisors at this point, or if she genuinely cares about what this guy thinks.
I think this is a level of cunning because she says outright, mm-hmm. you're a nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll betray me. Like you're not playing anything against me right now.
Right.
And I think you know what the common man wants.
Right.
So what do you think here? What do you think here with the non-bias?
I want to crush the skulls of those two for telling you that you're sick and making you weak. And you're not weak. And there is poison here, but it's not the mushrooms. It's those two. Right. And they want you. And then he does. I don't know if you caught this, but when she was smacking him around. Right. Do you remember this? This is why this is my favorite part of the episode. My favorite scene when she was smacking him around in your favorite scene. At one point, she says, look at me. Right. Mm-hmm. And because she wants him looking at her as she smacks him around. Here, he says, they want you. Look at me. Because she was looking away. He tells her now, look at me.
Oh, no, I did not notice
that. Yeah. They want you, look at me. They want you crippled because you have something they will never have, an effing dream. So there's definitely a dynamic shift here, and we see it come out very much in the next scene, in the last scene. The dynamic shift is interesting. I'm cool with him like wanting to be near her and kind of be part of it, but really just because he wants to be around her and protect her. I don't think I'm all that interested in it if he sees an opening to rule through her or supplant her. But I guess we'll find out.
It's too early to tell, I feel like. Well, yeah. I think episode 2 will really cement things, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. That'll give us a good trajectory of the series. We'll be a third of the way through. So
we will be. We will be. Okay. But that's your favorite scene. That's my favorite scene. We need to figure out who in this episode could have used some focus, some energy, some magic mind.
The magic mind moment.
Kurt, I just got the email today. My next shipment of magic mind is out. I'm so excited.
As is mine. I think we get the I think because we're on subscriptions, they send out at the same time.
Yeah.
I wonder what it looks like at their facilities, because that's got to be a busy time subscription month, right?
Seriously.
We got to send all these subscriptions out.
Yeah. Yeah. They must stagger them. I mean, we subscribed closed date, not the same date, but it was close. Anyway, I'm excited that my next shipment of Magic Mind is on its way. I love the stuff. Drink it every day with my lunch, and it gives me that focus and energy to get through the afternoon. But I want to know who in this episode could have used some magic mind. I have a couple ideas, so I'm gonna yield to you and let you go first, unless you want me to go first.
I'll go first because
mine's
pretty applicable with how I take magic mind. So I went with Zubak or Herbert could have taken it. More specifically, if I hammer down a real good time, he could have taken it when he first woke up and only had 20 minutes to get ready. Right,
mm-hmm.
He gets up 20 minutes to get ready. He also gets like a workout in. That's pretty good. If I wanted to do that, what I do in my mornings is I started off with a productivity shot. I take some magic mind, and you know, if you can't do what he does, like that's pretty good regiment by him to get up that quickly, get ready pretty quickly. Magic mind can certainly help you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, half a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine probably helps that. Mm-hmm. But it's more about how it helps your body absorb that caffeine with the matcha tea, the cordyceps, the lion's mane mushroom, the adaptogens and nootropics. It's good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, there's some other good stuff in there that I don't think we talk about enough. And I want to mention it here because the character I think that could use the magic mind is Elena, and really throughout the whole episode, Elena is a bit of a hypochondriac. Mm-hmm. She's very worried about getting ill. Magic mind has over 100% of your daily recommended allowance of vitamin C and vitamin D to help you fight disease, help your immune system. So I think that she could definitely use it in that regard. In addition to that, a little bit more focus could have definitely helped her see these snakes in her cabinet.
These weasels.
For what they were. What?
These weasels.
These weasels in the cabinet for what they were. That certainly would have been good for her as well. Maybe on the off chance that she might be able to get some positive. Well, she definitely will get some positive benefits out of magic mind, but that might switch her position on fungus.
She might be able to understand. Yeah.
Because, I mean, she is like scraping this palace down to the studs to eliminate fungus, which, I mean, obviously that type of fungus you do want to
mold
eliminate.
Mold isn't that good for you.
But mold's no good. But the fungus in magic mind, the lion's mane mushroom and the cordyceps, very good. Very useful for you. Help you focus, help you get it done at work, and help you get it done when you're running a country.
You know, that is fair. If you're running a country, you probably should be taking magic mind. Help you send that stuff.
Exactly. Yes. So folks, you can try magic mind. I think that you should try magic mind. We've got a great deal that you can use our code for to try that magic mind. Go to magicmind.com/KNS20. Did I get that right, Kurt?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, it says KNS20. You can use our code KNS20. This is all capitals on the KNS, right?
Yep.
So we'll put this in the show notes as well. You can get, that'll get you 20% off, but you also get even more off if you subscribe rather than buying just one case at a time. So all told, you can get over 50% off between the subscription and our code. It's worth a try, folks. I'm really glad that Kurt and I tried it because I have gotten nothing but good stuff, nothing but positive benefits.
I love it. Yes, it is very nice. I look forward when I get
a package
of it and just being able to drink it in the morning. I personally mix it with my coffee. So I take one cup of coffee, put in some Magic Mind, actually drink a lot more coffee. I just drink this in the morning. I enjoy it immensely.
Yep. And I, like I said, I do it. I take a shot of Magic Mind right before I eat my lunch, and it helps me beat that afternoon grog that usually sets in and makes me want to take a nap after I eat lunch. So yeah, Magic Mind, good stuff. Check it out. Use our code. Anything else we need to say about Magic Mind?
I think we could try to figure out who said it.
Oh, okay.
Who said it?
You're gonna be mad, Kurt. I hope you took your Magic Mind.
What is this, inflation here?
There's some inflation coming your way.
Oh my goodness, how many? No, for reference listeners, typically we do three quotes here. It used to be two to three, but now it's always three. But sometimes it's just how it inflates it. So what's the inflation?
You have also inflated it, by the way.
Well, you started the inflation.
Well, I was covering bodies. It was like basically four series rolled into one. All right. I have four quotes for you. It's not terrible. It's not too much inflation. Okay. But we're working towards your nightmare. Remember, your nightmare was eight.
It's happening.
We're getting there.
Give it a few years.
All right. Are you ready for your first quote?
I'm ready.
You want the easy one?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is she expecting you?
Oh, okay. This is Herbert or Zubak to her husband after, like, when she's in her 2-week quarantine period.
You're right. $1 million.
That one was easy. Yeah, you gave me the easy one.
That was the easy one. All right. That was the $1 million question. There you go. No. But this is 2 weeks after the break-in, 2 weeks after Zubak has kind of saved her from this guy who she breathed in. I breathed him in.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, no one sees Elena except Herbert Zubak. And Zubak even gives Nikki, her husband, a hard time about entering. Is she expecting you? I think he says something to the effect of, I would have... One expects their husband to enter a room. That's what he says. Anyway, he tries to convince her. Nikki tries to convince Elena to meet Susan and Dr. Kershaw, and that it's time to let her father go. Okay.
Well, she's already let him go, so not a problem.
Right. Fantastic. All right. You ready for your second quote?
Yes.
All right. Here it is. I would have sent the zoo some fresh lion food.
Reference this earlier.
I would have sent the zoo some fresh lion food.
Okay. This is... Now, see, this is where you're gonna ding me because I don't know all these other people's names. But it's one of the two. It's either it's the assistant that we see over and over again that looks like is hooking up with one of the other employees. Or
that, by the way, is the actress who plays that character is named Andrea Riseborough. And we have seen her in an episode of Black Mirror. She's the main character in Crocodile.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a very talented actor. Very good.
Well, it's either it's anyway, her so, or mm-hmm. it's the girl that eventually gets ousted. Like the one that introduces, like that gives the job to Zubak. And then eventually gets him reassigned when he gets, I guess, demoted to the night shift. But really, it's a blessing. So
what is the one guy referred to as Our Lady of the Shrinking GDP?
Yeah. when they're at the briefing. It's one of those two that say it's a Zubak, I think. I'm going to go with it's the lady that later gets done in for treason.
Susan, it is the Minister of Finance, Susan.
Yes.
I forgot her last name. Whatever. It doesn't
matter. I didn't learn her name because she got done in for treason. Like, I ain't gonna write it down.
That's right, yes. So, yeah. So anyway, it is Susan who did this. So
wait, I just didn't see though.
Susan Goyne.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you can tell me the scene. The other half point.
It's when
you just tell me. You You told me.
All right. Okay, good. All right.
Thank you. You said after he's been reassigned and turns out to be kind of a blessing.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. Even though all right. Sweet. I thought I said both, but yeah, I'll take credit. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So, Susan and Agnes is the name of the other, I don't know. She's like a groundskeeper, she's like oversees the general workings of the palace. I don't, maybe she's
like an assistant of sorts. Cause the others are like ministers and heads, but she seems to be, keeping in mind.
What's that called? The president has one. What's it called? Oh my God. Mahershala Ali played that on House of Cards. Oh. Well, anyway, Fixer. Whatever. Not Fixer. Okay. Well, regardless, we're not going to harp on that. But yeah, it's she seems to be like she's a little more like oversight over not just Elena, but the whole household, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Susan is the Minister of Finance. And it is Susan who says this. So Susan and Agnes are brought in with Elena. Elena deliberately leaves Herbert Zubak in the hallway. And Susan comes out and says, "You're lucky Agnes kept you like all in one piece. I would have, you would have been lion's food as far as I was concerned." But she tells him that I'm looking at the wrong thing. Sorry. That he's been reassigned and he's now on nights, not following Elena around. He is walking the halls outside of her quarters, never to see Elena's face again. And you can tell he's crushed by this.
He is, but she's like, "You're blessed."
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he says, I was just trying to help, which I can very much sympathize with. He clearly was trying to help. He was told it's really important that she not shake anybody's hand and that she know what the humidity is wherever she is. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to help, and it backfired on him. And you really feel for him in this scene, but
yeah, and you do also get him as graveyard shift too.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's just punishing himself in the hallway and telling himself to off himself. So. Yeah. Anyway, it's a kind of a heartbreaking scene for him, but he'll be back. Don't worry. Don't you worry about our buddy Zubak. All right, Kurt, you ready for number three?
Oh, I'm on a roll.
This one's probably the hardest one, I have to say.
Okay. So either it is actually hard or you're joking.
Well, we'll find out. Don't worry about the ammonia smell.
Oh, okay. This is, I'm not going to do names here, but I guess now it's Agnes talking to, I believe it's the guy that looks like she's seeing, and now he's scrubbing walls, and he says that to her, I think, there.
So this is after the break-in, right?
After the break-in went 2 weeks later, we're getting kind of reintroduced. Before, like, just after they're done talking, we're going to see Herbert walk by with Elena's tea.
Right. Oh, you're so close. It is Agnes, but I already covered that scene, Kurt. So it is.
Oh, I didn't think it was Agnes that said it.
You didn't think it was Agnes?
No, I thought it was the other guy that said it.
The other guy? Oh, never mind. Yeah, you get nothing.
Oh, well, no, wait, I'll take half credit.
It was Agnes in the first scene when Herbert first gets to the palace. He's dragged into the chancellor's residence in somewhere in Middle Europe, which I don't know if that's – I guess that's its own country, Middle Europe.
No, I'm assuming they're just not telling us like what the –
Okay.
They're just kind of keeping it all because they don't want to make any enemies.
Okay.
So they're just not telling us what country this is. I'm not putting any country in my head for this thing. It's just,
all right,
I just happen not to know Europe, and there's just another country that I've never heard of. That's okay. Whatever this is.
All right. But anyway, Zubak has been given something to calm him down, and he's to see Susan Goyne, the Minister of Finance, and Dr. Kershaw, the Chancellor's physician. But as Agnes walks him through the house, she tells him that this is the third scrub down in 3 months. Don't mind the ammonia smell. They're disinfecting again. And she brings him to Susan and Kershaw. And Susan doesn't seem like she was all that keen to have him in this position. He's got that, you know, itchy trigger finger after all.
Calls him the butcher.
The butcher, yes, from the Site 5 massacre. So we haven't mentioned the Site 5 massacre yet, but there was some kind of massacre of mine workers at Site 5, the cobalt mines, and Zubak was involved. He was one of the shooters.
In my head, I'm wondering if it's like they were ordered to shoot them, as some people are indicating, I think that's what it actually is based on how
I mean, that's the impression I got too.
But yeah. What they might be trying to highlight it as is like the Boston Massacre, which is like the miners got unruly. You know, the soldiers feared for their lives, so they shot into the miners. Right. I think they're going for a Boston Massacre, but I think it was orders. Yeah, I think it was Elena or some higher up giving orders.
The only thing calling that into question for me is that was it in the party part, one of her closest advisors asks Zubak why he did it. And it seems like he would have known why he did it if Elena ordered it.
But he also might just respect the privacy of it. Like I'm assuming he's told no one what actually happened that night. Or dagger, right. That incident. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, this is one of the Site 5 massacrists, one of the Site 5 butchers. And so Susan doesn't really like him all that much. But Herbert has been chosen by the Chancellor, who used to be a physician. So that's maybe important. I'm not sure. But she's very worried about the spores. And that's why they're gutting the palace. These two, Dr. Kershaw and Susan, really play their parts. They're telling Zubak, look, these spores are a problem. They're going to kill her. Right?
We are working on this problem.
We're working on it.
The spores are a problem. Right, yeah. Zubak?
Oh, yes. The spores are a problem, Chief. Yes. So, All right. So you are 2 for 3 going into the last quote, but this is the easiest quote, really. I didn't give you the easiest quote first. This is the easiest quote.
Oh, stop it.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I bless you all, and I bless our love always.
Is that the very last thing she says?
It is the very last thing she says.
In the entire episode, I should
Who's
say.
Who's she? Wait a minute.
Oh, darn. I almost got away with it. Elena.
Yes, to the camera, to the populace.
Or yes. Maybe the teleprompter to Elena.
True. It is the very last thing she says. However, Kurt.
Oh, is it said twice? Because she ends off everything? Okay. She said, I love. She similar to embodies Kyle, you are loved. There's a big emphasis on her telling her subordinates that she loves them.
Yeah, and this is actually something I really like about this episode. I really like that there is this theme of love throughout it. Now, I don't think these people who are involved really understand what love, real love is, but they are saying it. I mean, she tells her people that she loves them and she blesses their love always. She asks Herbert, do you love me? She sings this whole song, if you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. You know, and that's a love song. So there's certainly this, I don't know if she doesn't feel loved and she is trying to grasp at it by being, kind of a dictator. That if you can be feared or loved, and sometimes people will substitute fear for love, right? But I do like that theme of this. But yes, this is how she signs off both her telecasts in this episode. The one while Zubak is in his new quarters, and then the one right at the end.
How would you feel if the president, like twice a day, was doing? I know this isn't done in one day. The telecast.
Right.
It made me think, like, what happened if every day, like twice a day, the president was doing telecasts?
I mean, honestly, I think that I think in general terms, I don't think you can have too much.
Yeah, that's fair. FDR had the fireside chats. People used to like that. The radio chit chats.
I mean, I really think that we should probably have lots of direct communication from our leaders.
That'd be pretty cool for our leaders to do a Q&A every week.
Yeah, man. Why not? So anyway, what's interesting to me about this, and the reason I picked this quote, is because it is used twice. And the first time that it's used, Zubak is completely external. He's taking it in as just any other person who's a subject of this chancellor. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really know her. He probably loves her, but he doesn't really know her. And she's saying it to everyone, not especially to him or anything, but he's taking it in like everybody else is taking it in. The second time that it's said, he is right there with her. And there's maybe an implication that he may have had a hand in writing this speech. I don't know. Did you get that?
No. Yeah. What makes you think that?
I mean, she's just saying a lot of the stuff that he said to her
in the previous
scene.
I mean, that's true. No, I get that. Yeah. Well, maybe then you're right. I mean, he definitely influenced her. So even if she wrote all the words, well, I mean, I don't think she even wrote the words, but even if she had it drafted or done herself, mm-hmm. he in some way had a hand in it. Now,
absolutely.
But I do wonder if did he, you know, was he part of the script writing part or the speech writing part? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, even if he's not part of the speech writing or if he didn't write the speech entirely, I'm sure they talked about it as she wrote it.
Probably. Oh, yeah. That's for sure. I mean, yeah, his
idea is her words.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, she is rejecting everything American. Right.
Mm-hmm. And NATO.
And NATO. You know, yeah.
More than NATO cheap.
She's fully embracing Zubak's position, and Zubak is right there beside her, off camera, but beside her. And of course, Nikki, he notices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would probably be a growing problem.
Yeah. So anyway, I really like the juxtaposition between these two quotes. It's the same quote, but very different context. So I don't know. Maybe I like this episode more than I think I did. I don't know.
I'll keep it at an 8.
I'm going to for now.
It's not worth it.
Not worth what?
It's not worth bringing up to a 9. Who in the right mind would give it a 9?
I don't know. Some guy on the other end of this line. All right, Kurt. I think that we will now enter the recap. All right, we already talked about the opening scene quite a bit, so we'll move on to this. The second scene where Zubak gets to actually meet Elena. She wanted a Site 5 butcher for this job. She believes she was right to send them down that mine. So this is where you and I are getting the idea that this was ordered from up on high by Elena herself.
Yeah.
So, and his job is to follow her around with a hygrometer and have a graceful mind and dissuade hand contact.
Oh, you're right. He does say that. She says that a lot too. Have a graceful mind. Graceful mind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. She also feels like maybe there's some kind of connection between them. Like, is this deja vu? Have we met in dreams?
So that part, at first Herbert says no, but I'm like, is she hitting on him? Like, I don't know what that means.
I know. I mean, in this first scene that we meet her, I just felt like this was just a power move, right? Like, yeah, I'm going to make you fall in love with me because if you're in love with me, you'll do anything for me. I don't actually love you. I don't care about you at all. But... you know, I'm going to say this, you know, hey, have we met before? Or I think we remember each other. I'm going to say that stuff because it makes you more loyal. It makes you work harder for me. The impression I got. I don't think it stays that way as the episode proceeds.
Yeah, I wonder if she's actually serious.
I don't know.
Elena's a wild, she's wild.
She's a wild card. Just don't know what she's going to do. Yeah. you don't really watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, there's one episode where they kind of give each other labels for their group, and Charlie is the wild card, and they're all driving in a van, and like the driver goes to step on the brakes, he's like, the brakes aren't working, and Charlie's like, yeah, because I cut them. Why would you do that? He's like, wild card.
His another name is the loose cannon.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, fair enough. But anyway, Herbert is shown to his quarters and promptly vomits. There's a note from the Chancellor, whose name we learn is Elena Vernum. And it says, "See you in my dreams?" Question mark.
And I know the question. I'm like, what?
Oh,
like, I'm like, she's got to be hitting on him, right?
Right. Is she summoning him to her bedroom or something? But apparently not. Anyway, she addresses the nation on TV. We already talked about that. But she does also mention in this scene that she defeated Chancellor Edward Keplinger 7 years ago tomorrow. So I do have a bit of a prediction to make, because you and I both know that Hugh Grant is in this series. He was not in this episode, much to my chagrin, because I'm a big Hugh Grant fan. I do love the guy.
Hugh Grant, he's a good actor.
And I was very disappointed he wasn't in this episode, but my prediction is that he is the former Chancellor, Edward Keplinger.
Ah, do you think we'll do flashbacks, or do you think he's just captured, or he's somewhere?
I think that they'll be interacting with him in real time.
All right.
I'm not sure I see flashbacks in the future of this series.
I honestly, going into this, I thought it was going to be like she had just taken over this country.
Me too.
All right. So it's like, you know, the turbulent time of a coup is
right.
Once a coup goes underway, a country is, I forget what the likelihood, it's like you're 10 times or 20. It's like so much more likely once there's a coup than the next like 10 years, there'll be another coup.
Oh, you
know,
the government's,
because the government's unstable. You know, like if you're gonna do a coup, counter the coup with another coup. You know,
a coup.
Yeah, this is the time. This is the time to coup. It's coup season.
It's coup season. But no, it's stable. She's been in there for 7 years.
Yeah. So,
in a lot of ways, I think that makes it a little more scary, because this is like the gradual.
She has power. Like the keys are in her pocket. So this isn't her vying for power. She's had the power. She's holding on to it. Yeah. She is comfortable. She's not scared of losing it.
Right. I mean, this could be the gradual descent to dictatorship. Who knows?
Well, I think it already is. Like, it's not.
Do you think it's already a dictatorship?
It's not a democracy, because they comment about how it takes a while to turn a government into a democracy. So it's not a democracy right now, I think. Nor was it before.
But she does say that she beat the former chancellor in a free and fair election.
That is true. Well, it's not a democracy right now, so I don't know how that came about.
I don't know either, but all I do know is it's victory day. Yay, happy victory day, everybody. This is the next day now. Zubak leads the way everywhere, measuring the humidity. Elena gets word that Susan is impatient about the cobalt deal with the U.S., The downstairs staff is discussing the pickiness of her appetite, and her husband is meeting with Vogue. So this is where she's meeting with this guy. I don't know who this guy is, but he's like giving her all the hot goss. And it does sound like she is learning things that she is probably not intended to know.
Yeah. She's briefing her on the inner workings, and like I think hot goss is a good way of putting it.
Yeah. All right. So she and Herbert, though, shared a sugar beet dream, apparently, the night before.
The dream thing is really confusing me.
I don't get it.
Like, I don't know if it's just like a mutual gaslight here. Like, he's just like, they're into your dream, or are they? Like, I don't think there's anything magical in this series.
Boy, if there ends up being like supernatural stuff in this series, I might be off.
But that's not a good sign to me. There doesn't need to be supernatural stuff here.
No. Anyway, we move on to the cabinet meeting, where Susan, our lady of the shrinking GDP, is falling out of favor. The cabinet is unimpressed with the butcher. A dog with a calculator. That's right. He does kind of look. That was a pretty apt analogy, actually.
Similar to like if you ever taught a dog a treat or not a trick, especially if you teach a dog multiple tricks, and then when they see you have a treat, they just start doing every trick they know. They're trying to hand you their paw, they're like rolling over, they're sitting down. He's been trained to detect moisture in the air, so he comes into the room. Moisture. Like he's just doing
41%, 25%. By the way, I don't know if you know like what the comfortable humidity level is.
I don't, but you do.
I do. 55% is supposed to be the comfortable humidity level. Every percentage he gives her is lower than that.
Well, it's very dry here. They need to have moisture. You know, you need to moisturize.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a really funny line. Agnes at one point says, invest in some moisturizers because the dehumidifiers turn your skin into a mummy's a-hole. That was really funny. Anyway. All right. So he's got his calculator or hygrometer, as the case may be. Susan wants the cobalt deal closed so they can all focus on her safety. It's all for her. We got to get this done so we can focus on your safety. It'll help pay for those renovations that we need. So, interestingly, I do you know anything about King Ludwig, the king of Bavaria?
No.
Okay. King Ludwig, I don't know what year he would have been king, but he was king of Bavaria before Bavaria was acquired by Germany. So Bavaria is a German like state slash, you know, province type thing now.
What year is this?
I don't know what year it is. That's why I don't remember.
Could you give like a rough time, like 1800s, 19?
Yeah, so maybe 1800s.
All right, okay. It's a long time ago. That's all that matters. It's not like decades.
Right. So Bavaria is just part of Germany now. Mm-hmm. So I studied in Germany when I was in college, and we visited Schloss Neuschwanstein, which is like the most famous castle in the world. It's the castle that the Magic Kingdom in Disney World is modeled after. If you've seen a picture of a castle in a mountain, in the mountains, like a real one, you've probably seen Schloss Neuschwanstein, which is, I've been there a couple of times. But it was King Ludwig's, one of his last acts. He sold Bavarian independence to Germany to finance the construction of this castle.
Really? Right.
He sold his country for this castle. So he was sometimes called the Mad King Ludwig. It's such an elaborate castle.
I respect
it's
that.
It's so elaborate. That, yeah,
I don't want to be king of the country. I want to be king of the castle.
Exactly.
He could be, a big fish in a big pond, or he could be a big fish in a much smaller, nicer pond.
Exactly. He also had two other castles at the time that were pretty nice. Anyway, this castle was so elaborate that he only got to live in it for like, I think it was 35 days before he died.
Oh, really? So, I don't know why I feel sad now. Like, I don't even know this guy.
Whether, like, poor, what is, poor Ludwig.
Like how nice or bad he was to his people, but I just, that's, he seems like he really cared about that castle.
More than his country. He definitely cared about the castle, exactly. Exactly. So I was getting those kind of vibes from this part here where she said, we got to get this cobalt deal done so that we can pay for all these renovations. Like, and later when we find out that the Americans want 51% stake in the cobalt, it's like, she's literally selling her country so that she can get some spores out of her palace.
Yeah, well, hey, now priorities.
Got to do what you got to do. Reminds me of another story. I was in a bar once with a friend of mine, and somebody was playing pool and had a bad shot and like smashed the cue stick against the table. And my buddy looks at me and goes, "Well, some people just have different goals in life."
Angry and hit the goal stick.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't miss so bad that he.
No. He got mad and he smashed the cue stick against the table. And my buddy says, "Well, some people just have different goals in life." So I guess that's what you got here. You got some people just with different goals.
That's fair. Very fair. The Mad King. I respect that.
He's a cool character. Anyway. Anyway, Elena thinks that letting a foreign power in to mine their resources looks weak. She does have an obsession with not looking weak, mm-hmm. right? That's why she sent the salmon back as well. She cannot look weak. But and then she just gets up, leaves, and says, "We'll see what happens." The end. She goes on to visit her dead father. He's got spots now. Oh, my goodness. A leper changing his spots. Hilarious.
Happy, happy.
Hilarious. She speaks like he's alive, though. Did you get that impression?
Like he's talking back to her.
Maybe there is something supernatural about this series. I don't know. Anyway, she'll party if she wants to, even though he never did want to. The people love her. They never loved him.
That's why she's Chancellor.
Yes. All right, she gets the Clive Owen A Murder at the End of the World oxygen treatment here with Dr. Kershaw. another series we've covered, folks, Murder at the End of the World. Not our favorite series, but hey, if you've watched it, listen to our coverage. I bet our coverage is better than the series.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was really snarky. I'm sorry. Sorry, Britt Marling and Talib Manjil.
You're really excited, too. You were.
I was excited about this. What was the series
before that? The KOA?
The OA. Yeah. Yeah, I was excited about that series. I was disappointed by that series. Moving on. Elena's husband gives his interview with Vogue magazine. This is Nikki. And he steers the conversation away from surveillance and unrest and Site 5 and toward his poetry book. Elena applauds her son, Oscar. I think this is her son. Is this her son?
I don't know. Or is this Agnes's son? I think this is Agnes's son.
I don't know.
Because the way... I'm pretty sure Agnes calls him her son at some point. And I think
Elena says, go to your mother. Go with your mother. But I don't know. He's just hanging out in here with her while she's like doing her nails.
I don't know. I think it's Agnes's son, but
I think it's Elena's son. But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. No, maybe we won't.
I think we're both right in a way. I bet you it's Agnes's son, but Elena likes him so much that it's your son. But when I want to hang out with your son, I hang out with your son.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Hopefully we do figure this out. I'm not convinced we're going to. Anyway, she applauds him for making his action figures fight. Are you making them fight? Yes. Good boy. Anyway, but she quickly dismisses him and the salmon, and she sends Oscar with his mother to take his epilepsy pills. So these seem to be Chekhov's epilepsy pills, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. We will see them again. He will have an epileptic seizure at some point. She thinks that Herbert Zubek is a good boy. Because they both want to pour consomme over the heads of the banqueters. Good boy. And then we get the dinner party, which is your favorite scene, so we can skip way ahead here. That's a pretty long scene.
It is.
And we get the aftermath of the punishment, where he is relegated to night duty. But in the night, as he's punishing himself, he hears a sound from Elena's chamber. There's a man there, and Elena tries to talk him down. Herbert busts in and beats the guy down, probably within an inch of his life, if not all the way done with his life. I don't know. He was hitting pretty hard. And he picks her up and carries her to the doctor's office and holds her hand in her terror that she breathed him. She breathed that intruder. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine breathing somebody else?
If I was the chancellor, I would not be breathing a noble. I'll tell you that right now.
No?
You're O2, 100%. They say it's not good for you, but I'll breathe
100%. She's loving it. She's loving the pure
O2. Is it good for you to breathe pure O2?
I don't know if it's good for you for an extended period of time, but I think for certain circumstances, it certainly would be. I mean,
I'd be only breathing pure O2.
You do it. You just carry an oxygen tank around with you for no reason.
I won't carry it, but
I mean, there are people who are on oxygen tanks.
There are.
So yeah. I don't think it's ideal, but
that's fair. Or I could have the whole palace pumped full of O2 constantly, and somehow they suck out the CO2.
Yeah. I mean, that is the other thing that's happening in this chamber. Yeah, they're pumping O2 in, but she's also exhaling carbon dioxide.
Maybe she's so much oxygen in there that she's not even she's exhaling oxygen. Isn't that how that works?
whatever excess oxygen, but she's also certainly exhaling carbon dioxide.
No, not her. Maybe you.
Okay.
Lungs are clean now.
Good for
her. Yeah, dirtying the oxygen with the carbon.
Good for Elena. I also like the mints throughout this episode.
Short breaths and mints.
Yep. Mint up, everybody.
Yeah.
So, man. Anyway, I think we've covered the rest of the episode already, so I think that's all we got to do.
That is, yeah.
Do. Yeah. All right. So, Kurt, I think maybe we ought to check the time.
Oh, would you look at that?
Why, it's TV time.
Ain't no time like a TV time.
TV time is one of very few apps that I open every single day. I always open TV time. So TV time keeps is a way for you to keep track of the series that you watch, movies too, but I only use it for TV. So I have watched this episode of The Regime, so I can go into TV time, I can check it off. So TV time knows that I've watched it, and it will tell me when the next episode is coming out. I can tell you that it is coming out on Sunday, because this is a pretty easy one. It's just every Sunday. But I can also use it to figure out when my favorite series are returning from hiatus. For example, I have...
The joke here is that Mr. Sal has no favorite series.
I do have favorite series. Okay, here's a good one. I've had lots of favorite series. Here's a good one. I'm very, very excited that Hacks is coming back to HBO. I love Hacks. It's about a stand-up comedian in like the later part of her career and trying to adjust and find her way. She brings on a younger writer to help her be a little more relatable to a younger crowd. But that starts from the time of this recording in 58 days. And I know that because TV Time is telling me that. I really like that a lot. But when I check that I have watched this episode, then I'm given access to a few more things that I can with this episode. I can give it a rating on a scale from 1 to 5. So I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5 because that's where I land on an 8. You're going to give it a 5 out of 5. Where do you think the users of TV time land on this, Kurt?
I think they gave it a 5.
I do too. And they did. Only 45% though gave it a 5.
I thought about doing a 4. So
yeah. 30% give it a 4.
What gave it a 1 then?
1%.
Okay.
Yeah. I can also tell it what emotions I was feeling as I watched the episode. For example, thrilled, amused, shocked, confused, bored, reflective, sad, frustrated, touched, understood. There's a couple other ones. All right. So I can do that. And then our favorite thing to do, though, is to pick our favorite character. So you have your choice of the two main characters, right? Mm-hmm. You got Agnes. You got two characters we haven't met yet, one of which is Hugh Grant.
I'm going to be voting Hugh Grant.
And you've got Nicholas, Nikki, her husband, Elena's husband. So basically, you have four choices? You have 4 choices.
Okay.
Okay. I think that you picked Elena.
I think the people said Zubac. You said Elena.
I think the people said Elena, and I already guessed that you said Elena. And I was right on both counts. Even though I had written down in my notes that the users picked Zubac, I did just say the users pick Elena. And they did. 94% said Elena.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why'd you get both right? You don't know what I picked.
No, sorry. I don't. Did you pick Elena?
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
I think Elena is... I agree that perhaps Zubac might be the main character, but for even for this episode, although he's the point of view character, and typically that means they're the main character, I would not consider him the main character.
He's
a conduit for us to understand the real main character.
I don't know about that. I mean, we spent time alone with Zubac. We spend time
alone, it's with reference to her, right? It's him watching her on the TV, right? It's everything relative to what she's done or doing to him and how he feels towards her. So it's
fair enough.
It's you basically never stop thinking about Elena for the entire episode, even when she's not around. Like, her orbit is so strong.
You're right. I guess that's a good way to describe it. Her orbit. Like, I think that Zubac just wants to be in her orbit.
Yeah. Her influence. So, and again, that might stop and we'll be more, following Zubac. That could definitely happen. But even though she's not even the most screen time compared to Zubac, she's the main character, in my opinion, at least for episode 1.
She's, like I said, she's the only one on the poster, so
Yes. The posters mean everything, especially if we look at our previous series we've covered.
Definitely.
Like a man in the world. The
poster. Oh, yeah. Great poster. Super, super poster. Man, we are really riffing on that series today.
Oh, I'll say some positive things. If you like humor in a series, we have a few like humorous things we've covered. There's Mrs. Davis. That's a mini series, one off. There's season one of Shrinking we've covered. We really look forward to season two. And that's also a good drama, too. It's great comedy, great drama. Very insightful with, you know, people's self-challenges that therapy could help through with. And why not? First two seasons of Only Murders in a Building.
That's
funny drama.
Definitely funny stuff. Also drama. Also, The Artful Dodger, if you like British things that are kind of funny. Artful Dodger, I think this is a good one. We just finished that not too long ago. We've also got some other British things like Black Mirror and Culprits. And I don't know if you count Chernobyl as British or not, but
Eastern European.
What the hell? Eastern European. We've got lots of other stuff too. Better Call Saul's final season, Centaur World, the animated series on Netflix, Bodies, that's British, and that's our most popular series. That's a Netflix miniseries. You might want to check that out. We already talked about Chernobyl and Dexter New Blood. We've got The Last of Us season one, with season two is on the way probably next year. All of The Leftovers, my favorite series. Actually, we've got the Lindelof box set. We already mentioned Mrs. Davis. We've got The Leftovers. We've got all of Lost, and we've got all of Watchmen. We've got the season.
You know what's funny about having the Lindelof box set is we're kind of like married to Lindelof series now.
Well, I want to be married to Lindelof series, though. So, as far as I'm concerned, Lindelof drops a new series. We drop anything we're doing, we cover it. So, anyway, that's Damon Lindelof, by the way, folks. If you're not familiar with Damon Lindelof's work, those are the four series that he's done, and they're all
really good.
So
actually.
Good. Yes. So good. So, yeah. All right. Ed, we've got Outer Range season one. Season two will be coming along very shortly, maybe right after the regime is done. We've got The Old Man season one. We already talked about that a bit. Season two is coming out probably this year. We've got Russian Doll season one. We did not cover season two. I wasn't a big fan of season two. We've got The White Lotus seasons one and two. We're waiting on season three for that. And we are about to start dropping next week. We started a brand new series for us anyway, but it's not a brand new series. It's been around for a couple of years, but we're covering season one in anticipation of season two. Next week, we are starting to drop our coverage of Severance.
Ooh, I look forward to that. We've already watched a few of the episodes, so we've seen three of the episodes at this point. I'm intrigued. The series is intriguing. I'll leave it there. Give it a check out.
Yes. Yes. And in the meantime, folks, after you've checked those things out, why not drop us an email, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, we'd love it if you subscribed, liked, followed, and shared the podcast around on social media, or just hand out flyers. Like I always say, flyers are the best way to do business. Most efficient.
It is the most efficient way. If you want to get as many eyes on something, a flyer is the best way.
Yeah, way more efficient than sharing on social media. But anyway, all that stuff would be great. We'd love to hear what of the series that we've covered. What have you listened to? What of our stuff have you heard? What's been your favorite series that we've covered? Is the miniseries on Max a good place for us to be headed? Because that's what we're doing right now. But anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch. We're covering this week by week. That's a unique experience. We don't often do that. Well, I guess we do. We just haven't had an opportunity.
We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, we haven't done it in a while because we haven't had an opportunity because the writer's strike backed us all up. And we kept picking other series that were either dropping all at once or whatever. We haven't done a series that dropped week by week in quite a while. So
it was a murder at the end of the world.
It was a murder at the end of the world. Yep. So, but this is a unique opportunity. You can email us about episode one. And we can get your comments onto the show in episode two or covered when we cover that. So we are looking forward to hearing from you. Kurt, what else you got to say about the regime?
Cautiously optimistic.
Okay. All right. Do you know the title of the next episode?
No. What is it?
I believe it's The Founding, although there have been some discrepancies.
That sounds like a flashback episode if I've heard of one.
It does, doesn't it?
Maybe it's like a new beginning. Yes.
I might be wrong. I mean, we might see a flashback. All right. I'm done. You're done. I bless you all, and I bless our love always.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.